Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Meat isn't here. He ain't here.
Oh, where is he?
Well, I don't know.
So who is here?
Patrick Kelly.
Patrick. Oh, PK. Patrick Kelly.
PK, what's
hey,
up, dude?
Buddy. What's up, guys? How are you doing today?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Thanks for coming in the save. This has been a team effort today.
Right. Meat is out because I think he's been hospitalized with mold.
Well, that and he's moving, too.
Oh, he's moving. Never mind.
He's doing both those things, though, might be true.
How do you move while you're in the hospital?
I don't know. It's weird.
He's awesome.
He's a real gamer, isn't he?
He sure is.
Mike Ryder came up with a rundown. PK's been helping out. We're getting this together, all right? Takes a lot. When Meat's not here, it takes a lot of human beings to fill his void.
It sure does,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not saying we don't need him.
No. I'm saying it takes a lot.
Like, yeah, it does take a lot.
We had to scramble a lot.
Okay.
Anyways, everybody's doing a great job. So far, so good. PK, what are we fighting over?
We are fighting over today Cardinals tickets on Friday, August 23rd. The Cardinals host the Rockies, and that night, 30,000 fans aged 16 and older will add a mesh pullover Cardinals jersey to their wardrobe courtesy of Bayer. Get your August 23rd tickets at cardinals.com/promotions.
Nice.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, I am too.
I love promotions.
I love fights. So we got one here. Let's say hi to our fighter today. It's Luke. Luke, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Very good.
Oh, good, good, good. You ready to take on Megamind today?
Yep.
Sounds great.
Okay, yeah.
Question number one. Albert Pujols collected his 3,167th hit last night against the Pirates, becoming the all-time hits leader among foreign-born players. Who is now second on that list? Is it Ichiro Suzuki, Rod Carew, or Adrian Beltre?
I think Ichiro is first, so I'm going to go with Adrian Beltre.
All right, question number two. Paul DeJong hit his 20th homer of the season last night, becoming the first Cardinal shortstop to produce multiple 20 home run seasons. Which shortstop is the Cardinals' all-time leader with 71 home runs? Is it Johnny Peralta, Edgar Renteria, or Ozzie Smith?
I'm going to go with Renteria.
On this date in 1993, Nolan Ryan recorded his final victory with his 324th career win. Cy Young has the most career wins in baseball with 511. Who is second on that list? Warren Spahn, Walter Johnson, or Greg Maddux?
I'm going to go with Warren Spahn.
And question number four. Which Major League Baseball team does not have a letter on their home baseball cap?
I was surprised to find this out. Every single team has a letter somewhere on the logo except for this one team.
Yes. Which one team is it, Luke? Is it the Blue Jays, the Orioles, or the Indians?
Blue Jays, the Orioles, or the Indians? I'm going to go Orioles.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Luke, how we feeling?
Not so good.
All right, that's okay. It's Thursday. You know, it's getting closer to the weekend. Do you have the weekend off at least?
I do, yep.
See, that's something. I mean, always to look forward to.
Hey, Luke, you know, we were asking people, or we still are, we're looking for mic drops. Now that St. Louis is reportedly getting MLS for sure, we're going to find out next week. Are you now officially over the Rams leaving town? So we've asked people, you're done. You're over it, huh?
I'm still a Rams fan.
What?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up?
What?
I'm still a Rams fan.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
what?
Wow. That's interesting. You know, like,
that's all right, though. I guess, appreciate it.
But, I mean, I am kind of bitter about him leaving.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, well, at least you got some bitterness in
you. Of course you do. Still likes the guys. Randy, say hi to Luke.
Hey, Luke, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing.
You ready for this, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Albert Pujols collected his 3,167th hit last night against the Pirates, becoming the all-time hits leader among foreign-born players. Who is now second on that list?
Adrian Beltre.
Question number two, Paul DeJong hit his 20th home run of the season last night.
Yes, he did.
First Cardinal shortstop producing multiple 20 home run campaigns. But what shortstop is the Cardinals' all-time leader with 71 home runs?
45. Okay, let's see. DeJong has 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 64. So I think we'd have to go Edgar Renteria.
Question number three. On this date in 1993, Nolan Ryan recorded his final victory with his 324th career win. Mm-hmm. Cy Young has the most wins in baseball with 511. Who is second on that list?
I'm going to go with the big train, Walter Johnson.
And question number four, Randy. Tough one here. Mm-hmm. Which Major League Baseball team does not have a letter on their home baseball cap logo? So on the front of it, the logo.
The current logo.
There's one team that does not.
Huh?
What team is it?
Let's see. It's not the Cards.
It's a tough question.
It is.
Yeah, it is. You
gotta
go
through the
teams.
Question, though. I like it.
I think it's got to be one of the birds, right? Either Baltimore or Toronto. And I think Toronto might have like a J or something now. I'll go with the Orioles.
We've got a winner.
I miss Chief Wahoo.
He was there.
Yeah.
He was there. Luke, I'm sorry, got you, man. 3-2. Adrian Beltre is second on the list. Albert Pujols is first with 3,167 hits. So congratulations to him, most among foreign-born players. Edgar Renteria is the Cardinals' all-time leader with 71 home runs from the shortstop position. Paul DeJong is creeping up on him quickly. Walter Johnson is second behind Cy Young with 417 victories. Cy Young has 511. Guys, I'm going to say it. I don't think that anybody's going to match that.
No, those are unbreakable records.
Yeah, that's where
those are. It's an unbreakable second place.
And the team that does not have a letter on their home baseball cap is, in fact, the Blue Jays. Hmm. The Blue Jays are the one.
Logos.
The Orioles one is pretty sketchy because it does have the bird or the thing or mm-hmm. whatever it
it's
is
a bird.
On it. It's a kind of a bird. It's a bird.
The cartoon bird.
It's a bird. But it has a cap on that has an O on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, yeah. But the Blue Jays don't have one. Luke, man, thanks for playing and try again.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. But you were kind of right because a few years ago, the Blue Jays did have a new logo which had a J in it. It was like the bird and then
that's
the J.
Thought, yeah.
It was kinda, but they don't use that anymore.
Okay.
They have just the bird now, but they also have an alternate cap, which is pretty cool, and it's just a maple leaf.
I love that hat.
I do, too.
That's nice,
I don't know
yeah.
why.
Big fan.
I mean, I'm not Canadian.
You can still like
it. I've been before.
You can like Canadian things. I like that. I like maple syrup. And I love their national anthem. I think it sounds great.
How about their national sport?
Oh, I love hockey.
Curling.
It's curling.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not hockey?
No. But they did export a lot of great things like Ryan O'Reilly and Alex Petrangelo and
sure.
Jordan Binnington to us. So we like and that kind of stuff.
I love going.
Still ours, though.
Yeah.
USA. USA.
Yeah.
I like
Suck
going
at Canada.
That's right. Thanks, you know, Peter.
Going through the Blues like 1967-68 rosters, mm-hmm. and you see the flag of every country all the players are from. In like those first few years, it's just all Canada.
All Canada.
Not
yep.
a single anything else.
It's
I love
like
that.
The Blues this year.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had the most Canadians.
Except for Maroon and Sanford. And of course, you had a couple of Europeans, a couple of Euros.
Where was Sanford from? Like Massachusetts?
Boston. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come to the garden.
Come at
yeah.
me, Sanford.
Yeah. It's the Fast Lane, and it is 411. Boom, right there. That was 411. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Next up, we're going to talk to MLB Network Radio's Mike Farron about what's going on in MLB. He's next on 101 ESPN. A note for you, as the Cardinals get ready to play in Cincinnati, the Cubs are at Philly again, and Javi Baez has been scratched from the Cubbies lineup due to illness, so they're going to have David Bodie play shortstop tonight. Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and we head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line, and Mike Farron of MLB Network Radio, kind enough to take a few minutes with us this afternoon. Mike, thanks so much for your time. I listen all the time. I love what you guys do at MLB Network Radio.
Thanks, Randy. I appreciate that. Hello, Ronji.
Hey, why is that always the, the greeting? It's usually like, hey, guys, Ronj.
Yeah.
Mike,
people like me.
What kind of a guy is Ronj to you? And we've been dealing with him for a few years. I mean, had the opportunity to grow closer and closer the last couple of years. I mean, if you have to explain Ronj to somebody, how do you do that?
I'm a little bit biased there, but I love Chris. Okay. We've gone back a long, long way. So, almost 15 years? So, we were both young pups in the big city. Working across town from each other at the same time. So I think that there are a few more enjoyable combative teams to the ground.
All right. That's nice.
Yeah, see?
That is nice. See, yeah, I knew it. It takes 15 years, though, is what I kind of figured out.
No, this was right away. I mean, we hit it off right away. Right. Mike is the best, and the best recognize the best, usually.
Thanks for that.
Speaking of the best, you know how it is when you're watching a team all the time. Sometimes you might look in the standings and be a tad bit surprised. That's kind of how I feel right now, Mike, when I look up and see the Cardinals tied with the Cubs atop the Central. Because this team, I mean, it's not even arguably. It's a flawed ball club. They've had their issues. Yet here they are, you know, atop the Central. To you, when you look at the Central, what does that tell you?
That it's a flawed division. I think that that's just kind of the way we can play it with any of the National League races outside of really the West, because the Dodgers are pretty good. Actually, they're really good. And even I think Atlanta, to some degree, I mean, like, as good as they've been all season, you know, they're only five up now in a loss column on Washington. And I just think it's there's a lot of really similar teams. It's not that dissimilar to where the American League was about 5 years ago or so, when you had, you know, legitimately going into the All-Star break, you know, 11 or 12 teams that felt like they still had a chance to win. And, you know, obviously that was kind of the case this year, although a few teams faded since. But I just don't know that there's all that much that separates, you know, say, the Cubs. The Cubs, from a talent standpoint, should be way better than they are. I think that probably everybody agrees with that, but they're not. And so I don't think that anybody really gets that far separated, whether it's the Cubs or the Nationals or the Cardinals or the Brewers or the Diamondbacks or you know, any of these teams that are in the mix for these playoff spots. I just think that they all have big glaring needs. And really that should, as frustrating as it might be for, you know, an individual fan base, for those of us fans in general, then it should be a pretty fun last 6 weeks of the season, because it really does get the feeling that any of these things could end up advancing.
So of all of these teams we're talking about who are either in the wild card conversation or the National League Central conversation with their flaws, which team do you think is most likely to be able to overcome that major flaw they have?
That's a good question. Washington, probably. I mean, I think that their starting pitching is strong enough and they've got a robust enough offense that they probably can get past some of the bullpen uncertainty. The bullpen's been better over the last, you know, 3 months, and you know, they've been winning at 65% clip for a while. So, I mean, I would say that they're probably one of those teams. I think the Cubs are capable of it because of the talent that they have on their roster, but again, they haven't really showed it. So, you know, it would take like one hot stretch from them, I think, you know, winning 17 out of 20. Or something like that, something crazy like that, you know, or 16 out of 20, something along those lines for them to really separate themselves. And I think of all the teams that are in that mix, you know, them and Washington are the ones that are the most capable of doing it. But other than that, I don't know. And I don't feel good about saying either of those two because of, you know, the flaws and with Washington, the uncertainty with the injuries. I know Scherzer said he wants to pitch a big league game right away, but, you know, what happens if he has recurrence with his shoulder? And, you know, what about Doolittle's injury history? And you can play what about with everybody in the National League right now.
MLB Network Radio's Mike Farren with us on 101 ESPN. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike_Farren. That's F-E-R-R-I-N. And in addition to his work at MLB Network Radio, Mike is a host for D-backs broadcast. And Mike, we know that you've seen more of Paul Goldschmidt than any of us. And in those 8 years with Arizona, he had a 930 OPS, 798 this year. What's your expectation for Paul Goldschmidt here down the stretch?
That's a good question. I mean, I would think that he probably gets back closer to, you know, what he's done the last couple of seasons, at least in terms of what his numbers are. I mean, the power numbers have certainly been there, really, since the All-Star break. You know, the batting average still isn't. The batting average might be a little bit different. The on-base percentage is still a little low, but he's been about like an 890 OPS since the break, right? So, and it's probably a little bit higher than that since the beginning of July. So I would say that what you've seen over the last 6 weeks would probably be the best expectation for him over the next 6 weeks. You know, I don't think that, I think because he got off to a slow start or after that first week and it really scuffed him a little bit, it's going to end up dragging his overall numbers down. But I would say that he probably ends up somewhere in that, 270, 275, 355, 485 range in terms of numbers. And that's probably pretty good. And, I think he's certainly capable of doing for the next 6 weeks what he's done for the previous. And if that's the case, then that's very, very close to the Paul Goldschmidt that the Cardinals thought that they were trading for.
Mike, on the flip side, one of the guys going back in that deal was Carson Kelly. And every time I had a chance to be around him, I just love the kid. He just gets it. He's smart as can be, hard worker. But you knew how it was here. Behind Yachty, he wasn't going to get the opportunity. He gets the opportunity there. And it looks like Carson Kelly has fit in quite well.
Extremely well, yeah. And I think his growth over the course of this season has been one of the really good storylines with the Diamondbacks. I mean, between him and Ketel Marte, who's likely a down-ballot MVP candidate. I think he's third right now in the National League in both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, wins above replacement. And I think both of those guys have been a big, big plus. Carson is, as you guys know, he's just such an engaging guy. And he really is intelligent. And he has worked extremely hard to improve some of the less tangible aspects of his game, namely when it comes to game calling and understanding how to execute a game plan. And you know, he really picks the brain a lot of the coaching staff and of Alex Avila on that. He has the respect of his teammates and of the pitchers. And he's on top of it, had a tremendous offensive season. I mean, when you go back and look, you get to about the first week in May, his numbers were pretty low. And once he got to Coors Field and hit his first big league home run, he said told me that was kind of the moment that he suddenly relaxed. And from then on, his on-base plus slugging percentage is near 1,000. He's been really, really good. And, yeah, I think he's certainly a building block for the Diamondbacks going forward, and not just because of his production, but what he brings off the field as well.
Well, let's talk about this Diamondbacks team, because we have a situation where there are a lot of teams still in the wild card mix. Arizona's only 3.5 out. They've got a better than average pitching staff. They're better than average in terms of offense. They're a really good defensive team. Do people there have any kind of thought that they might actually make a run at the wild card?
Well, they're certainly hoping to, and I think the way they addressed the trade deadline was with that in mind. I mean, they got an offer that they couldn't pass up to deal, Zach Greinke, but they also added guys like Zach Gallen, the former Cardinal farmhand, and traded for Mike Leake as well. So, yeah, I think that they still feel like that they have a run. And then, their schedule softens up a little bit in September. They have a number of games. The only divisional team that they have left are the Padres. They play the Cardinals here. They also have a series against the Mets, but everybody else is under 500, and the Mets might be at that point too. So it's not like it's the toughest schedule down the stretch for them. They're done with the Dodgers basically by Labor Day, and that's been the team that's really given them the biggest fits. So I think that there is that possibility that they could go on a run. They just haven't shown that ability to this point. I mean, they have been within 2 games of .500 for the last 2 months, either way. They haven't been more than 2 games over or more than 2 games below. And so I think that, unless this run where they've won 3 of their last 4 series continues, with the series in San Francisco now and, on the road, the next trip is San Francisco and Milwaukee. Like if you start to see them continue to trend in the right direction, then yeah, I think they're going to be a real contender in September. The other aspect that Robbie Ray went on the injured list today, he had to leave the start yesterday after 2 innings because of back spasms. With club don't really have any information yet as to, you know, how concerned they are. He was having an MRI done today, and it may just be that they want to ensure that he skips a start, and it's not anything major, but we don't know that. But he's a pretty important guy for them if they are going to try and make a run here down the stretch.
Final thing for Mike Farron, who is a host for D-backs broadcast and also a host on MLB Network Radio. We know weird things happen in October, but weird things haven't happened the last two Octobers with the Dodgers going to the World Series. To me, it would take something really extraordinarily weird for the Dodgers to not make the World Series again this year. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've joked all year that, like, they're kind of this, you know, super fighting machine, with the exception of this one flaw that's just about the size of a womp rat, you know, which is that the bullpen isn't real good. And Joe Kelly has pitched better over the last couple of months, but Kenley Jansen hasn't been great. So, I think there is a flaw in that Dodgers team that can be exploited, but you have to get to that, and you have to not have, you know, Bueller, Ryu, and Kershaw shoving it down your throats for 7 innings the first three games of a series, right, for it to really manifest. So I don't think it's a slam dunk that they made, and I think clearly they're the favorites. Just like I think the Astros, probably based on their depth, are the favorites in the American League, even though the Yankees are right there neck and neck with them on record. So, I think it's probably likely that LA would make it, but I don't see them as being an invincible squad this year, even though they're posting, you know, winning percentage is one of the three highest in franchise history.
Mike, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Mike Farron of MLB Network Radio, and he also is heard on Diamondbacks broadcast. By the way, I had not looked at this until we were interviewing Mike, but the Diamondbacks, man, if they play well, they're going to play the Giants the next 4 days, then they get the Rockies, then they're at Milwaukee, then they go to San Francisco. They have only one series left with the Dodgers. That's at the end of this month, but their September has the Padres at home, at Cincy, at the Mets, the Reds at home, the Marlins at home, at San Diego, then they get the Cardinals at home, and they get the Padres at home to wrap up the season. That's a pretty soft schedule.
Got a chance.
Yeah.
And that's it. It all comes down to, as Mike was saying, being able to put together a run. The D-backs haven't proven that they can do that yet, but the same can be said, again, going to the parity in the league. Most of the teams haven't been able to do that yet.
And like he said about Robbie Ray, it'll be difficult with him not in the mix, but that team has the second best run differential in the league, and they have the best run differential of any team that's in the wild card race. The only team better has been the Dodgers. So it's it actually wouldn't, even though we don't talk about them in this context, it would not really be surprising if they finish really, really close to a wild card spot. I would not completely rule them out at this point.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and we want to know how excited you are about MLS coming to St. Louis. Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, STLtoday.com, broke the story last night that MLS will make an announcement that we, St. Louis, are getting a team, and that announcement will be forthcoming on Tuesday. So how excited are you? And secondarily, with the Blues winning the Cup, with an XFL team coming to St. Louis, with the MLS coming to St. Louis, are you over it, as Bob Costas wanted us to be, as far as the NFL leaving St. Louis? You are next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Get it, Alan.
Alan, he's fired up. How fired
I'm
up
fired
are
up
you?
Now. Damn, yeah. That was a nice remix.
It was. MLS to the Lou is happening, according to numerous reports, and we want to know how you're feeling about it. Alan told us we are using the mic drop feature with the 101 ESPN app, and let's hear from you here in the Fast Lane. In the world.
I do like the idea of
in the world.
The world being affected positively by MLS coming to St. Louis. I love
it. It is a big deal.
I love it.
Being a part of any major sport is a big deal. And you look at the just looking at the cities that the MLS is in. It's LA, it's Seattle, San Jose, Portland, Houston. It's all big cities, man. It's a big deal. Like St. Louis being on the map, it's not like you're looking around and with all due respect to like a minor league baseball team where you're in Hoboken or you know, whatever. It's not, I mean, this is a big deal to be a part of this.
The rivalry with Sporting KC is going to be epic. It's going
to
be great.
So apparently those games are ridiculous to go to. And they draw incredibly well. Mm-hmm. They've got an unbelievable vibe. That should be cool. Chicago should be cool too, right? Like being
right,
close
that'll
enough
be
to
fun.
That.
I don't know if a lot of people go to Fire games. I need to check it out. But
and Nashville getting an expansion team too. So that's going to be a fun rivalry as
hey,
well.
Hey, once they get that high-speed rail built between here and KC,
it's going to be unbelievable.
You get there in like 20 minutes.
Here's the next.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he is.
That's right.
Say something happy, though.
I am happy. I'm happy about MLS.
Thank you.
There you go. That's perfect.
That's her.
Yeah.
She's good.
I'm happy about it.
Yeah. So, never forget. Like, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
You can. Even know if you're going to forgive.
No.
But you can always keep. You can be happy about, like, the new stuff
happy
that's
happy for
there.
Us, but still root really hard against them.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's healthy, actually.
Another mic drop. It'll be amazing.
Should be great. Portland Timbers, man. Love their soccer. Hate showers, though, apparently.
Is that true?
Portland. I don't know. The hipsters.
Oh okay. Everybody's happy there, from what I understand.
Nobody wears deodorant. Well, they're high, nice. Ronge.
Whatever. Happiness
probably
is happiness,
high.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's
we,
true.
We drink a lot. They get high. Whatever. It's all the same.
I think that we could all get together.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, totally agree. You could be happy for everybody else, and then miss your sport. That's okay.
And I missed good football. Even I can handle losing football if it's okay. But man, that was.
You know what though? I miss even now, and certainly I didn't have the connection to it that you did, Randy, being here your whole life. But I miss kind of being a part of something like that. There was at least even solace in the bad times. You go to the store and you both got your Rams gear on. Mm-hmm. It's like I know, right? Sucks,
right?
But here we are together. You're missing out on that,
and that's why having the soccer team here will be so cool, because that's just another galvanizing aspect of the area. And hopefully this will be something that will bring everybody together. I don't think it was a coincidence. I don't think it was a meaningless gesture that when this pursuit was started more than a year ago, year and a half, more than almost 2 years ago now, that the first press conference was held at Matthews Dickey. I believe that the people that are involved with this ownership group really care about the entire community. They want everybody to be involved and be a fan of the franchise. And I hope that this can be a galvanizing influence for all of St. Louis, not just a group of St. Louisans.
Obviously, it doesn't have the same sort of pull NFL does,
no.
But it is it's going to be very local. And I think that's an important idea, is that they're going to benefit from it themselves individually, the people who own this team. Otherwise, they wouldn't get into it. But also, it's going to be good for the city as well. And I do hope that people get behind it in the way we are hoping they do.
Here's another mic drop on 101 ESPN. He's excited.
I get all of them except for Ronge on
Mother's Day.
Day.
Yeah. Is nobody happy on Mother's Day? Yeah, what the hell? Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, of course. I think
he's more excited than you because you love your mom.
So you know what this sounds like? That guy doesn't like his mom. What an a-hole.
Did you just get into some mom issues there?
Man, that's what it sounds like.
Way to dig into it.
Wow.
Good job, Ron.
We're going to talk to Mr. Soccer here in St. Louis, Bill McDermott. Let's get one more mic drop here on 101 ESPN. Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's going to be great.
Looking forward to it. Nobody is looking forward to it more than Mr. Soccer in St. Louis, Bill McDermott. And Bill will join us next year in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. When we saw the word from Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com yesterday that indeed MLS is planning to award a franchise to St. Louis, one of the first people that I think a lot of people thought of was Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer in St. Louis. And Bill is with us now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. Mr. McDermott with Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. This is Randy Carricker, and I'm so happy for as big a soccer fan as you are, and I can't imagine how excited you are today. What's it like?
Well, Randy, this has been a long time coming. As you know, Major League Soccer started in 1996, and St. Louis, through a lot of veiled efforts and then some real strong efforts, first and foremost by Jeff Cooper. It just didn't work out with Jeff. But then 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Jim Cavanaugh and Paul Edgerly, the gentleman from Boston who was actively involved, that one didn't work out either because politics got involved and a vote got involved, as a matter of fact. But as soon as the October 9th, 2018 press announcement initially took place, Randy, when the fact that the Cavanaugh and Taylor families were merging, this was all points forward. Everybody was full speed ahead because, as a matter of fact, just look at it. It started just October 9th of last year. So many things had to happen. There was a possibility of St. Louis being named with Sacramento, a possibility of Sacramento being named alone. But it seems like now St. Louis is joining the fray, joining the existing league. And if indeed there's going to be pro soccer in the United States, Randy, and the farm of Major League Soccer, St. Louis being the birthplace of a sport in our country, it's only logical that St. Louis would play a part.
See, and to me, a lot of the excitement comes from families that grew up, soccer families, and years of it, and loving it, and wanting to grasp onto something that is their own. While I'm sure a lot of these families followed the Cardinals and followed the Blues and the Rams when they were here, like they wanted something of their own, and they finally get a chance to get it. I can't wait to see all the new sports fans that descend upon downtown, Bill.
There will be new sports fans, without any question, but you're bringing up a 100% valid point, and that is the family aspect of it. And that's what started with St. Louis, I guess primarily with the intercollegiate soccer craze, which began in 1959 in St. Louis University being so successful. But prior to that, the many club teams, all of which were highly successful on a national level, St. Louis did this, was responsible for this resurgence of soccer, the cachet of viewing soccer, when nobody was paying attention. The 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, and then in particular, as I mentioned a moment ago, when St. Louis University started to really give the city some national identity. But the family aspect has always been there, first and foremost with the CYC program, and now going through all the various club formations.
Just going back to, and we're going to get the official decision, obviously, next week, but the decision from MLS to expand by three as opposed to just by one, did you see that coming? Because, it seemed to me, and we talked about this, that they just probably didn't want to lose the momentum of what Sacramento put together, what we put together at the same time. I still didn't think that was going to happen. Did you?
No. As a matter of fact, no one saw that coming. You're referring to the announcement of April 19th of this year, when the league announced not just 28 29, but 30 as well. And also, by the way, the biggest part of that announcement, stemming from the fact that the first official announcement of this grouping was, as I mentioned, October 9th. Well, from October 9th of last year till April of this year, the price tag for the expansion fee for Major League Soccer went up from $150 million to $200 million. So that coupled with the aspect of $200 million to $225 million, somewhere in that ballpark, to build the stadium, this is going to be, for all intents and purposes, an investment of the Taylor and Kavanaugh families of well over $500 million.
Bill, I think one of the great things about this particular sport is that in the soccer, the pro soccer games that I've been to, you don't have to be a great soccer fan. You don't have to be a particularly knowledgeable soccer fan to have a great time. I think this fits our times, that people can go there for the event and have a great time.
I can't agree more. And what really started it, I think what really started that aspect of spectators viewing was the World Cup coming to the United States in 1994. There were a lot of casual sports fans, because Americans, if nothing else, are big event people. They saw for the first time what a World Cup truly meant, and that is, it's not a city playing against a city, it's a country against a country. So they started to see that aspect of it, and because of that, the league was born in 1996, and another advent of one important, dramatically important factor was the advent of television on a regular basis, so that you can watch games from literally, not just in Major League Soccer, but literally from all over the world, and you can watch them on a regular basis.
Bill, what is it about soccer fans? They seem to have a special bit of crazy in them.
Well, that stems from parts of the world where your only diversion, pretty much your only diversion for some time away from your family, or in some cases with your family, your only chance for spectator viewership is of soccer, which normally comes from your neighborhood or your city. And in that particular case, as opposed to a World Cup, it's a city against a city. And this is how you validate your nationalism, if you will, of your respective city. When Manchester United plays Manchester City, all the various derbies around the world, when River Plate plays Boca Juniors in Argentina, now that's totally different. That is maniacal, as a matter of fact. But there are constant, on a yearly basis, derbies around the world which feature a city against a city, and this is how a lot of people, this is their one source of diversion for sports, soccer in their particular city and in their country.
Bill, are you pro Vuvuzela?
Well, I tell you, I've done many World Cups. The constant din of a vuvuzela at the South African World Cup, that got to be old very, very quickly. because it was a constant din, and it never, that didn't work on a regular basis, no.
So what do you envision a typical game day here in St. Louis is going to look like?
Well, in particular, because of the stadium that's being built, it's going to feature a lot of areas where you can get together prior to, at halftime, and postgame. The stadium's going to lend a lot to this. It's going to be a fabulous atmosphere. It's going to be below street level. There's going to be a translucent canopy over the entire venue on which you can portray videos and all types of things like that. But it will be a coming together for our young crowd. It's a sport for a changing America. They're mobile, tremendously mobile, digitally, very savvy. Social media, obviously astute at that. But they're looking, the young crowd in particular, looking for a two-hour window in particular. And it's going to be highly competitive between St. Louis and Kansas City, St. Louis and Chicago, St. Louis, Houston, Dallas, Columbus, a little farther up east, Minnesota, upper part of the country. But being in the central part of the country and being one of the original cities from the then North American Soccer League, it's just a chance to re-enhance, if you will, those existing rivalries from years ago, from the late 60s, early 70s.
Mr. Soccer in St. Louis, Bill McDermott with us on 101 ESPN. We got a couple of more things. Number one, we remember the Steamers in the early 80s, and with a franchise made up about 95% St. Louis guys, they were very, very successful. Yeah. MLS doesn't seem to me to be a league where you can do that.
It doesn't seem to be, Randy, and it's not going to be. The ideal scenario, and I'm glad you brought up the Steamers were successful, and the Stars of the North American Soccer League, when they were most successful, was the blend of the farm player with the American player, and in particular, the St. Louis player. That seems to be the pattern that would be most successful in St. Louis. But as I mentioned a couple days ago at a different venue, the days of an entire first 11 of all St. Louis players, that's over. That doesn't exist anywhere. That doesn't happen anywhere in the country, as a matter of fact. So the ideal scenario for success with teams in this particular league is the blend of top international stars to merge with the American player.
Do you have anything? Do you have a name that you would love this team to be called, or do you care at all?
Well, I do care. I would like to see it if indeed there's going to be a name other than a team like St. Louis FC or St. Louis SC or St. Louis United, something of that nature. And I've mentioned this at other outlets. I like the name Legacy, because if there is one name, one word, and one city that can have the audacity to use that as their title, it can be St. Louis because of what they've done, as I mentioned a moment ago, what they've done to put this sport on the map, and that dates back to 1875.
That's a great one.
It is a good name. Yeah. We didn't get that one on the text line when we
asked. I don't think we did.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, before we let you go, two of maybe outside of your family, your two biggest passions are soccer and this community. So that's why this thing on Tuesday really has to have special meaning for you. You really do a lot and you care a lot about St. Louis. To have St. Louis getting pro soccer has to be one of the biggest things that's happened for you.
Well, very much so, Randy, because I have spent a goodly portion of my life involved in the sport. I grew up in a part of North St. Louis in Walnut Park where if you were Irish and Roman Catholic, you played soccer, pure and simple. Then on to McBride High School, very fortunate to be able to get a soccer scholarship to St. Louis University where all my idols went. So I've had an opportunity, believe it or not, I announced the very first soccer game on ESPN with, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Slayton. So it was Slayton and McDermott, September 1979.
How about
St. Louis University against UCLA at Francis Field, the very first soccer game. So it's been a huge portion of my life. But what has made the most dramatic area of my life in particular was that we're able to stand on the shoulders of others who literally put this sport on the map in our country, and they're born and raised, every one of them, all in St. Louis.
It's going to be great, Bill. Thanks so much for the time today. Look forward
to
seeing you on Tuesday.
We shall see you. Thank you very much for the time.
Take care, sir. That is he is the greatest St. Louis soccer ambassador, and that's why we call him Mr. Soccer in St. Louis, Bill McDermott. And he's one of those people that has been, as he mentioned, going all the way back to when Jeff Duncan was trying to get a team in Collinsville. He has always had his heart in trying to get MLS to St. Louis ever since MLS started up. So he's one of those people. You had that group of people you were really thrilled for when the Blues won the Stanley Cup. He's one of the people you're really thrilled for when we get MLS in St. Louis.
You can just hear the passion when he talks about it and the excitement that is there. And I think that I know that's something that is shared by thousands and thousands here. I can't wait to see the atmosphere. And again, for those that aren't into soccer, and again, that's me. Raise my hand. I want to be a part of it. I want to be down there. I want to see the vibe. I know my family's going to love it. The kiddo is going to love it. And I'm going to be a part of it.
You're going to be able to see inside the stadium from that Ferris wheel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be great. Yeah.
Oh,
no
man.
Doubt about it.
Oh,
when
it comes to
part
of town's going to look great.
When it comes to roster construction, we did get a text on that from the 314. Says, how about zero Americans? I want to win. That's
I agree.
From Matt.
That's totally, yep. I'm with you.
Coming up in the fast lane, we told you yesterday about Ohio State wanting to trademark the word the. Well, that school up north is upstaging Ohio State University. That's next on 101 ESPN.